Before I begin the message this morning, I have an announcement. Now, I know this has been in MetConnect, and I think actually the Reverend Dr. Malcolm Sinclair, my predecessor in this pulpit, beat me to it on Facebook. But I want to let you know that my retirement is imminent, and my time among you will come to an end at the end of this month. These past 2 years and some have flown by, and it seems like yesterday that I walked through the narthex and into this community. And you have welcomed me, and I am grateful. Your search committee is well on its way to assembling the next worship team, and I leave you at the end of the month knowing that Reverend Myers and Dr. Wright will continue in the interim to walk with you as we head into summer. Now let's bow our heads together in prayer before the message. Mother, God, may the words from my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts find their place with you, in you, and be surrounded by you. In your name we pray and we come. Amen. So, this is my second last time in this pulpit, my next to last time of mounting these stairs, taking a deep breath, kicking off my shoes, and delivering what I hope is worthy. Now, I have not been in this pulpit long, and certainly not as long as Reverend Sinclair. And I know before him there were a long line of preachers, 200 years of them, the lead of whom was always a man. And so I bring to the pulpit my own experience as a woman, one who identifies with the pronouns she or her. And that is a good thing. My messages to you are filtered through my experiences, my cultural assumptions, my gender, and my biology. They cannot help but be so. But I also hope that I bring messages from this pulpit that originate in another place, another consciousness, if you will, another state. Not wholly, we can never not wholly be separate from our cultural assumptions or biases. But we can try to put ourselves in another's shoes. That is compassion. We can try to filter out our ingrained biases or assumptions in the pulpit, make that ontological argument, if you will, and that is commonality. And if we are hitting the homiletical mark, the one in the pulpit speaks through glimpses of what in Christian religious terminology is known as the Holy Spirit. And that is prophetic. And prophetic preaching worth its salt always begins with the confessed qualifiers of the person preaching, of the preacher's person, time and place. We are never without them. We are never without our embodied experiences or our biases. And so that is where I speak from today, this message that is called Blood and Water and Spirit. Now, all of the monotheistic religions has as its major founder or mouthpiece the male voice. Jesus, Muhammad, Abraham, all male and all identifying as male. And in our time and place, and certainly much of my lifetime, the male pronoun has been the identifier for God, and the default pronoun as both the whole noun and the way to identify groups, or humans' groups. Jesus called God Abba, Father. Muhammad certainly referred to God in the masculine, and it is certainly true we have descriptions in the Bible for God that do evoke mother. We can think of the hen protecting her chicks. That one comes to mind. But there is no doubt that we lost the feminine for the most part in all our monotheistic faith descriptions of God. But it was not always so. The earliest depictions of the divine were of the eternal female, a female form giving birth, the act of creating, blood and water and spirit. And as time and indeed centuries, indeed millennia went on, from the time of us crawling out of the primordial ooze, we fast forward through the Egyptian and the Roman goddess figures of Gaia, or Tellus Mater, or Isis. And we fast forward again to our tradition, to the closest approximation of this eternal mother in the Christian tradition, the mother of Jesus, whom we labeled the Virgin. How did we get to an idea, a doctrine of that which creates, how did we get to a doctrine of someone like that not being created out of blood and water and spirit? Jesus came into the world in the usual way, and so did Muhammad, and so did Abraham, and any other revered prophet. And in this time of spring, we see it around us everywhere, and it's not profane, it is miraculous. It is biology. Jesus came into the world in the usual way. I can't say that enough. When Mary said, "My soul magnifies God," she was not speaking of being impregnated by Gabriel. She was a woman declaring, even reveling in, her state and her condition. The real hero besides her was Joseph, who accepted her in that time and place, because without his acceptance and support, we would probably not still be hearing of her today. And so fast forward to me in this pulpit today. Here is what I have to say. It is Mother's Day, a day in North America that was brought into being only about 1900 by a woman named Anna Jarvis for her mother who had died. And it was not the biology or even the relationship that Anna Jarvis was honoring. It was wider than this. And it was delineated and bordered by what her mother had done in her lifetime, not simply by giving birth. Her mother had cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the field during the Civil War in the U.S. And in its aftermath, she organized a Mother's Friendship Day, the goal of which was to foster reconciliation between former Union and Confederate soldiers by having them come together along with mothers from both sides. This was bigger than biology or the act of giving birth. And it brings me to what Hallmark and Saccharin cards have forgotten. The day for Anna was about healing. The day for Anna's mother was about healing and about reconciliation and about forgiveness and about creating space for opposing sides to move forward together. It was not about being able to produce a child or about somehow fulfilling some prime directive. It was not about holding up an ideal notion of the state of motherhood. It was her mother's ability to mother. Not only her, but mother in her work, in her actions, in her way of being in the world for the good of the world. And by God, we need this sense of mothering now. The definition of mother in this wider sense is to give birth to anything. As we widen our definitions of genders and of gender norms, it can be as close as the gender normative aunties or grandmothers. It can be as gender disparate as males who mother. And it can also be giving birth to an idea, a way forward, a creation, a discovery for all of this planet in any discipline. When one of my sons first pointed out to me that gender was not the same as sex, I was flummoxed and confused and even dismissive at first, I must admit, but not anymore. because has not our gender stereotyping, our gender pigeonholing, led to definitions of God, of mother, of father, that can take a lifetime to fit into or get over? Think of the lives that we have twisted because one did not fit the norm. In religion, think of the time spent enforcing rules around gender roles in our narrow, spirit-deprived reading of Scripture. Think of our descriptors of God. Now, Rosemary Radford Ruther says the church must be organized to do only two things: to pass on the tradition from one generation to another, and to be open to the winds of the Holy Spirit by which the tradition comes alive in each generation. And the generations that are coming after us are forcing us to be open to just that. In their insistence, we deconstruct our classifications, deconstruct our word definitions, using non-gendered pronouns, throwing open to the winds of the Spirit all previously written in stone preconceptions of words, beginning with he and she, him and her, mother, father, God. Even our current census questions, I am happy to say, have moved beyond sex as determinative of gender. Now, in this time between Easter and Pentecost, we are reading from the book of Acts for the most part. We read stories about these followers of this Jesus working through how to live together, working through how to hear and take to heart and live out the teachings of this Jesus. And we hear all of it through the lens of their own cultural assumptions and histories, through the lens of their inherited stories, their tiny part of the world. In Acts, we are witnessing a shift in perception, a change in the definition of the term God's people. It is widening. No longer are God's people constituted by ethnic division between Jew and Gentile, but by a religious distinction. Those who fear God as manifest by accepting Jesus as Lord and do what is right, and those who neither believe nor act in that manner. And this religious distinction will in time, perhaps not in mine or in yours, but in time, will also be surmounted, made redundant. Jesus of blood and water and spirit sought to move the distinction in his time and place, and he did it through his commandment, his only commandment, that we love one another, that we mother one another as he has mothered us. Happy Mother's Day to all. Amen.